Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast about the haunted attraction industry, focusing everything from mega haunts to home haunts. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just aficionado, we aim to be the podcast for you.
Hi.
Hi, I tightened it. You see what I did
yes.
there? I made it smaller. Thought I did pretty good.
Yes.
Yes, but okay, well, it is episode 12.
Yes, and that means it's divisible by four,
four.
So it must be a news week.
It is a news episode. We're doing the news.
Yep.
The news show. The newsies. The newster. Okay,
let me stop you there.
Yeah, yeah. Please. All right. It is, we are recording this in mid to late February.
Yeah, not it's a short month, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, well, it's a leap year.
Yes.
a leap year. But yes, I am automatically very confused. Obviously, it's not the busiest season for haunted attraction news, but we still have a lot of stories to go through.
Right.
I'm actually quite impressed with the load of news we discovered.
Yeah, who knew?
So, do you want to just jump right in and start talking about the stories, or anything you want to jump over first? We really should have coordinated that part.
We probably should have, but we're so professional.
Such
we didn't
professional,
even,
yeah.
Know, talk about it.
so professional recording in our guest bedroom. But yes, okay, the first story this week, actually, we start off on a very sad note.
Yeah.
Legends, a haunting in Old Town, that's the name of a haunted attraction, is closing its doors for good. As they say, all legends come to an end. Legends was a year-round haunted attraction, which is something of a rarity in this industry, as we'll be discussing further in just a moment.
Yes.
But it opened in October 2013, and it was in Kissimmee, Florida. Apparently, I've never been to Kissimmee, so I'm kind of shooting blind here. But my understanding is Old Town is a bit of a shopping/carnival district with
right.
lots of attractions and rides and things. And apparently it's been going through a rough time.
Right. Reading the story, it reminded me of
the
pavilion. Boardwalk
and the pavilion,
pavilion
and Myrtle
and
Beach.
Myrtle
and so,
Beach,
yeah. That type of thing. It's been going through a rough time lately, and Legends has decided to close its doors for good. Now, they did say they are thinking about possibly selling it
right.
if they can, or moving it if they can, but the attraction as is will be closed. They've been unable to find a buyer, apparently, and this is sad.
Yeah, and basically the article that we're reading from...
Yeah, it's Eric from Behind the Thrills Theme Park blog broke this one.
Right.
I love the blog name, by the way. I just want to throw that out.
Yeah, basically, from what I can tell, is that the other shops and things in Old Town closed and have been shuttered, and that's why this is going away.
Yeah.
There's just not enough foot traffic anymore.
And not enough foot track it? How do you get foot track it?
I corrected myself,
I
thank
know,
you.
I know. I am a jerk.
Yes.
What else is news, right?
Uh-huh.
No, but yeah, I mean, and basically the article mentioned it was being refurbished and renovated.
Right.
And that it had lost a lot of its traditional shops and stores. The author said it had something of a flea market feel to it, which is kind of a brutal dig, I think.
If you've ever been into a dying mall, it's kind of a sad experience.
It really is. And, you know, I've seen, you know, and it's weird because I can think of like one mall when I was in Columbia, South Carolina, that was a dying mall, but then they got some investor to pitch millions of dollars in for a renovation, and then it became the vogue place to go again.
Right.
It's like, you know, renovating a sports stadium to make the team stay. It's that type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's closed. It closed its doors. And like I said, it was sad to me because it was a year-round haunted attraction.
Right.
Which also, coincidentally, and this was purely coincidence until we were starting work on the show notes,
mm-hmm.
is also the topic of our next news story written by Brady McDonald at the LA Times, which simply asks, why don't theme parks build more year-round haunted attractions?
Excellent question.
And the article mentioned that there was one attraction opening. They were opening in Canada, the La Rondée, I mean, I don't do French, amusement park was debuting the Maison Rouge, a haunted labyrinth. But at the same time, Universal Studios Hollywood is shuttering its House of Horrors year-round maze attraction.
Right.
And then the question was, why the struggle?
Yeah.
Why is this the problem?
We've seen this in other cities. New Orleans had a year-round small haunted house type experience in the French Quarter for a long time. We never actually got to go to it, but I do know of its existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even, you know, a tourist city like us with a rich, kind of haunty
vibe and a very, very long tourist season, too. We've got a 9-month tourist season, effectively. Right. Just don't come in summer.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's too hot.
Too hot, too many hurricanes and bad stuff. Just bad juju. Don't come in summer. Yes. Other 9 months of the year.
Please, Godspeed. Come visit.
Let us brought to you by the New Orleans Tourism Board.
Yes.
But
no, even we couldn't sustain a year-round one.
Yeah. And it seems odd to me, because we traveled internationally, and this author also noticed what we've noticed, which is other cities we don't think of as Halloween or haunty places, have year-round haunted attractions.
Right, and basically some of the conclusions drawn were that overseas, they don't have the tradition, the long-standing tradition of Halloween.
Yeah.
And so people think about these types of things not just in October.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's why, like, when we were in the Newcastle area, the Northeast England area last, we were at Onnic. And we did their haunty dungeon thing.
Yeah.
Which actually I thought it was fun.
It was a very interesting experience. And my problem going through it is like, oh my gosh, if they just put some actors here and there, this would be a great haunted house like I'm used to.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of haunted experience.
It definitely is very British. It's very theatrical. It's very, it was very quintessentially British to me.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And you know,
it was totally unexpected.
Yeah. We just like, it was like the weirdest damn thing. We're roaming around the grounds of the castle and some guy like a drug peddler comes up. Hey guys, you want tickets to the haunted attraction?
It's like, there's a haunted attraction here? Awesome.
We basically mugged him on the spot. If he wasn't going to give us the ticket, he was going to give us the ticket.
Yeah. Yes. Last ones for the day. So they were doing brisk business, and that was in July?
Yeah, that was in the middle of June or July. Yeah.
June or July.
And then when we were in Budapest, we had the caves of underneath Budapest haunted attraction.
Right.
Which
was loosely
Dracula-ish.
We didn't actually get to see the last room.
Yeah, we almost got locked inside the caves underneath Buda Castle.
We did have, you know, some fun accidentally scaring the other tour group. And I say tour group loosely because basically that you get down there and it's lit and you start walking towards the cave and the guy goes, hey, you forgot your lantern.
Like all in those old rickety gas lantern things, and
I'm looking around. And it's bright. I'm like, come on,
you sissy! I can see fine any round. Like you round the corner.
Exactly, pitch black.
Poof. Like, oh, we need more lanterns.
Yes.
How about some actual flashlights?
Or maybe some stakes on the wall that light up. You know, old
something,
stuff.
Anything. My God, it's dark down there.
Yeah,
it was great though. But yeah, there's these year-round haunted attractions at all these other places.
Right. And they seem to do brisk business. And I do think that we do have a mentality in the U.S. that haunted houses are for Halloween.
And Halloween only. And in a way, I guess that's, I mean, I remember, and the statistic comes up every year, for decoration, Halloween is the second biggest holiday.
Right.
Behind, obviously, Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most important commercial holidays, even though we tend to not think of Halloween as a commercial holiday. We're okay. It still is.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, I'm wondering if we could just, if it could be marketed as something different, you know, instead of calling it a haunted house.
Yeah.
Do like, I don't know, an interactive bed and breakfast.
Okay.
Well, something like that could possibly work.
It's interesting because
maybe it's a branding deal.
Well, and it's interesting because here in New Orleans, you talked about how we don't have a year-round haunted attraction. it shuttered. But we have a megaton of haunted tours, vampire tours, graveyard tours,
ghost tours. Yeah.
Every kind of spooky tour you can fathom. And those run literally 365 days a year.
And they're always booked.
And they're always booked up. I mean, so yeah. There's got to be a market. There's got to be a way to solve this. Now, he said, and getting back to the article here.
Sorry.
This is a news show, I swear. We're not just talking about a topic and running with it. I swear we plan to cover news. But no, the author said that, A, the tradition of it is very strong in North America now.
Right.
U.S. and Canada. And it's increasingly getting strong in other countries. Australia is developing its own Halloween tradition. And I remember hearing about it developing in England when we were over there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just simple manpower cost. It takes a lot of people to run these year-round attractions. You have to employ basically, you know, a dozen to, you know, several dozen actors full-time to keep one of these running, where a ride, you give the high school dropout, you know, the right to push a button and start it. That's a slight exaggeration. It's a joke. But the point is, you don't have to hire as many people for a ride as you do for a haunted attraction that's actor-driven.
Yeah, that's very true.
Now, this does raise a second question, though. When we were at Eckert's Fun Farm,
yes,
we actually saw it. I know it's not a haunted attraction, but it serves the same purpose. If you believe the purpose of a haunted attraction is to surprise, startle, and entertain your guests,
yes,
it serves the same purpose, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And it was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a year-round one. Unmanned.
Yeah.
Completely unstaffed.
Uncle somebody's weird shack of stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was.
But it was very interesting. You'd roam from scene to scene.
Right.
You would activate, you would push a button to activate it. Props, there'd be sometimes sparks activating behind you. There was a lot of neat stuff there. And you know what I mean? It's...
Yeah, well, and I think, too, that it was helped by, once again, being unexpected in the place we were at.
Yeah.
Because we didn't expect to find anything other than, you know, the haunted hayride we were there for.
Yeah, and other regular stuff.
Yeah.
Fall stuff. And it was Uncle Aubrey's Funhouse was the name of it. I looked it up. Uncle Aubrey's Funhouse was the name of it. But yeah, we just expected Fall Festival stuff, and we just literally, without knowing what we were doing, walked right into a haunted attraction. It was kind of badass.
Yeah, we were looking for the restrooms.
That's a building.
Let's go see if that building is a,
And then, it was really interesting, though, that idea of an unmanned haunted attraction and what you can do with it.
Right, and, it only let one group of people in at a time. The door closed behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they had the system down pretty good.
Your
group would go in. You would walk into, like, if you think like a airlock system.
Right.
Your group would walk into one room. You'd hit a button to start the TV playing. It would start the TV playing, and it would shut the door behind you. So now you're trapped in the room.
Right.
You watch the little video thingy. Then the door to go into the haunt opens, and then you enter.
Right.
So, yeah, it was very, very cleverly done. And also, another thing this article doesn't talk about, it briefly mentions, is state fairs and so forth have haunted rides.
Yeah.
The little funhouse haunt, on the ones on rails. But once again, those are not actor-driven.
Right.
They are prop-driven. They are spooky-driven type things. And I mean, like, Disney has the Haunted Mansion open every day of the year. But once again, not as actor-driven. It's not as people-driven.
Right.
So I think that people-driven element, it's just expensive to have that many people running a haunt.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could always be, you know, like Leonard Pickle back in his opening days.
Yeah.
Where he was
the actor. Beach, yes. He was everything. He took the tickets, and then he let you in, and then he would, because he had the way he described it was, he had a very skinny unit, like in a strip mall.
Right.
And it had two doors, a right door and a left door, and the ticket booth, and it's like an old-timey theater.
Mm-hmm.
And you would take your ticket, you'd go in the right-hand door, and then as you went in, he would disappear, leave the ticket booth, go back, run all the scares, and then come back and take more tickets.
Yep.
You know, and it, whatever works, you could do that, I guess. But yeah, that's the challenge of a year-round haunt, is staffing it.
Yeah.
and surviving those costs. So while I am sorry to see Legends, a haunting an old town, close its doors, I think it's understandable why. And I do think tradition does play a role.
Yeah, and if anyone does know of any successful year-round haunted houses in the U.S., please let us know.
Yeah.
Because we would love to, you know, see if we're ever in the area, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'd love to check some of them out. It's pretty cool. Now, skipping ahead to our next story, and now we're completely leaving year-round haunting by going back to seasonal haunts.
Yes.
The Darkness.
Yes.
Has announced that it will stay in St. Louis. For now.
Yes.
At least. Mm-hmm. Now, we actually went to the Darkness for the first time last year. And really, really had a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely thought it was an interesting haunt. I had not even heard rumors it might be moving.
Yeah, I thought I had seen something about it looking to open another attraction in a different city.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that that would mean closing its doors in St. Louis.
Yeah, they are opening one in Indianapolis in 2017. Right. Yeah, that's been...
Yeah, I think we've actually talked about that before.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. That has been a thing for a while, and it's been pretty well known. But a lot of people were afraid that it meant the Darkness was pulling up stakes from St. Louis. And it's kind of the linchpin haunt for the St. Louis area. Because not only do you have the Darkness, you have the Abyss at Lint Brewery and Creepy World.
Right.
And apparently, according to Larry Kitchener, the president of Halloween Productions, says that they are not moving. Now, the rumor, apparently, was that they were going to move either to Indianapolis, or they were simply going to move outside the city limits. Because though the Darkness and Lint Brewery are in St. Louis proper, within the city limits, Creepy World is outside of it.
Right, which is why we didn't get the chance to visit it.
We basically, where we were staying was on the wrong side of St. Louis to do it. And we were staying there because of family and, you know, reasons.
Right.
It wasn't purely a haunt visit for us. So, we could not go. There's no time, no way in hell. The extra 30, 40 minutes it would have taken, just too much to get over there. Plus, they have a lot of attractions. In Creepy World, if I remember correctly, it's like a haunted theme park.
Right.
We didn't have time to do it properly, anywho. Now, he is revamping the Darkness, adding escape rooms, because that's what every haunt is doing now.
Yeah.
I sense an escape room topic coming very, very soon.
Yeah, it was also very big at
HauntCon, yeah.
So we're going to have to touch on it.
Yeah, we're going to have to touch on that very, very soon. Yeah, but they're adding escape rooms, and they are adding zombie laser tag.
Which sounds fun. We actually had talked about this at one point a long time ago, because we're laser tag fans. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's like, how can we combine all of our loves?
It's like, look, the things that we have done for more than we have been with each other, pretty much, have been haunting.
Yeah.
Developing websites. Mm-hmm. And laser tag.
Yes.
Those are the things.
Yes.
Those are all the things that have lasted longer in our lives than each other. Those are our cornerstones.
Well.
So, yeah, definitely wanted to find a way to combine laser tag. The original idea we had was like a kids-themed haunted attraction where they could shoot the zombies and make them go away. And
right,
stuff.
Exactly. That would be something, you know, that would be so that more families could come out. You could have an attraction for younger kids while, you know, the older kids and adults would go into the more scary ones.
Yeah. And you could even, like, use, like, a movie rating system type thing. This one is G, this one is PG.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to actually use the MPAA's trademarks. I'm just saying something
akin
to that.
Thinking of that kind of laser tag kind of reminds me of the Scooby-Doo ride at Carowinds.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was basically just a small roller coaster. It was basically a track.
It was basically like the old style fun houses we were just talking about at fairs and so forth. It was, you were on a track, there was a little dips here and there, but it was basically a slow track ride.
Yeah,
and
you
got
pop up and
you and I did pretty good.
Yes, I think we won.
We did pretty good at that. But yeah, so he is apparently expanding, though, at the current location. And that is great news for St. Louis.
Yes.
After all, they've already lost one beloved franchise in the city. They didn't need to lose another this year.
Yeah.
Tough times in St. Louis. Sorry to all fans of the St. Louis Rams. However, there was some frustration vented, nonetheless, according to this article. He said the darkness has declined in recent years. He blames it on tax structure, crime, politics, graffiti, and lack of, quote-unquote, city vision.
Right, and that's a direct quote from
this is pretty much pulling directly from Kitchener here. That's... I don't know what to say about that. I don't know enough about the situation, but...
But... Whenever we were headed towards it,
yeah,
and Ellie, who's from that area, lived there for a long time, realized we were going through some pretty sketchy neighborhoods to get there.
Yeah, and it's really weird, especially like when you go to Limp Brewery for the Abyss.
Yeah,
you feel like you're not in the best place.
Yeah, but strangely enough, I felt like that was a better place where the TARDIS itself is.
Yeah.
But I also felt that the Abyss was treated as an afterthought.
Yeah.
As far as like the lighting outside and all. Anyway, that's another show.
That's a whole separate story. But no, thing about this, I love the article mentions that neither the Abyss nor Creepy will be available. Like, you can't relocate the Abyss at Limp Brewery.
No, it is at Limp Brewery.
That is the damn name. And believe me, you're not going to find a cave structure like that just floating around for you to use in a haunted attraction anywhere. So
no, the glimpses we got were great.
Yeah, and I mean, there are other places with haunted caves. I'm not saying there aren't. They're just not many under cities.
Right. Well, unless you're in Budapest.
Oh, yeah. And then they literally build stuff into the caves. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting story. And I'm really, really happy for St. Louis on this one. Not moving. Everyone breathe a sigh of relief. I mean, and also, this also impacts, Chicago. This also impacts, Transworld.
Right.
Transworld is put on by the same people, and Transworld's always in St. Louis because of that.
Yes, it's coming up soon.
Coming up soon, in fact. So yeah, it's one of those things that would have negatively, maybe not negatively, I'm not going to even, I'm not going to hazard a guess, but it would have impacted Transworld too. By the way, Transworld is March 17th through 20th, for those playing along at home. We will not be at Transworld, unfortunately. The reason is, I speak at South by Southwest on the 15th of March.
Right.
And that is just too goddamn much. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I might be doing Chicago Frights. I haven't confirmed that one way or the other. I might be going to that. Mm-hmm. But Transworld's not happening. Sorry.
Yeah.
Guys, if you go to Transworld, knock one back for me. You know?
Yeah. Let us know how it goes
and shoot us an email.
Yep.
Okay. Now, this one was really, really interesting. An article here on Bustle. By Lucia Peters. Lucia Peters. I love that name. Lucia Peters. Mm-hmm. That's just a nice name. Is this creepypasta no in-house real? The haunted house legend goes a long way back. Okay, everyone in the haunt industry has heard this damned urban legend.
Yeah, I heard it growing up, and I was hearing about it being in Texas.
I heard about it being in, like, Chicago.
In fact, one of the haunted houses mentioned in here that says, no, this isn't who we are.
Yeah.
The 13th floor, I believe it was, in Texas.
And 13th Gate also had to put it in theirs here in Baton Rouge.
But I had heard that was the one that, you know, had it.
Okay. The urban legend, for those who haven't figured it out, is that there's a haunted house that you can, if you go through, you will either get refunded your ticket, you will get tons of cash, prize money or something if you're able to complete it.
Right.
Sometimes the haunt is called Unbelievable Thing. I had not heard that name for it, by the way. But supposedly it's the haunt where, you know, you're too scared to collect if you do finish it or whatever.
Right.
And apparently, and I did not know this, it goes back to at least the mid-1980s.
Yeah.
I did not realize it went back that far.
Yeah.
I thought, and in fact, Leonard Pickle...
It makes sense, because I was a kid in the 80s.
Yeah, sure,
so, I heard about it.
And Leonard Pickle says he was asked about it, and while he was running a ticket, but probably the Myrtle Beach haunt.
Actually, this was his Texas haunt.
Oh, Texas haunt, okay. Mm-hmm. In 1987.
Yeah, he was in the Dallas area.
So, yeah... Basically, they confirmed in this article that no, it's not real. They really didn't say where it got started.
Well, like most legends, it's really hard to pin that down.
Yeah. And you know? I think it's hard to pin down in large part because I think it may have started simultaneously in multiple places.
Right. And, you know, who's going to be able to tell where the long path versus the short path legend got started about us?
Yeah. And what Crystal's describing is, I work front of house at our little haunt, and last year, it's a haunted attraction. There's one path. Everyone knows this about haunted houses.
It's in a garage.
It's in a garage. There's one flipping path, people. But, I mean, I'm up there. I'm in my character, my Bernie character, doing my razzmatazz, my thingy. And this cute little, I mean, God, such an adorable little boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Comes up, he tugs on the coattails of my jacket. Uh-huh. Mister? Mister? Yes? Are we going in the short way or the long way? And I just had nothing.
Yeah.
I'm usually one of the best in the world at staying in character. People who know... In fact, I have trouble dropping character after I'm done.
Yeah.
I annoy the hell out of her by continuing Bernie, sometimes for hours after it's over.
Well, I don't know if annoy is the right word, but yes. And you also pick up characters from movies.
Yes, I do. But apparently, there was no personality change when I went to see Deadpool. I probably should be very worried about what that says about me. Did not improve or
anyway,
alter my personality.
Little boy.
Anyway,
asks,
and I basically like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you know, there's the short way where you're all safe, and then there's the long way they actually try to get you and hurt you. And I'm like, dude, I'm thinking to myself, dude, well, long way it is. Go on in, boys. What do you do? How do you play that? But yeah, the urban legends. And the thing about it is this. I was thinking about this when I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
When this legend got started, it was a pretty pivotal time for haunted attractions.
Right.
Because we were getting away from the church and the JC haunts, and haunted attractions were becoming more professional affairs right then in the early to mid-80s.
Right.
And so with that comes, you know,
its own set of legends.
Its own set of legends and a shift. And maybe haunt marketing had something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that happened. I don't know, but regardless, it's interesting that they actually were able to trace this back to roughly when it started.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great marketing tool to just have some random no-name haunt out there, so you try to go to all of them to figure out which one you're going to win your $500 at or whatever.
Yeah, and they also described a version of the myth I had not heard.
Yeah.
Which is a customer who supposedly finishes the haunt, but is too scared to collect.
Right.
He drives home and finds out he's still stuck inside this Truman Show-like haunt.
Right. It's totally out.
It's totally
there.
Insane.
There's no way a haunt could, you know, recreate everybody's house.
Hey, give me enough time. I'm teasing. But you know what I mean. It's one of those things where...
Ooh. I just had an idea.
Oh, this is not good.
No, it's not.
This is very bad. What's the idea,
this
dear?
This is actually... No, never mind.
All right.
I'm not going to go into that
because
that would be invasive.
Yeah, probably would be. If you're saying it would be invasive, it almost certainly would be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's a good read. It's, like I said, it's on Bustle. We'll have it in the show notes. But long story short, it doesn't offer too much in the way of explanation of how it happened. But it's a really, really fascinating look at a creepypasta. I don't like the term creepypasta. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not digging it. But a creepypasta that has been around for almost 30 years now. At least 30 years now.
Yeah.
Well, shifting our focus to a new documentary.
Yes. The Blackout Experiments.
I thought you were going to talk about The Witch. The old flippity flammy switcheroo.
Yes.
Anyways, yes, the Blackout Experiment. She spoke true. This is an article by Brian Bishop at The Verge, and likes to look at a new movie called The Blackout Experiments, which talks about
the blackout.
Big surprise there, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to be a documentary style film following some patrons of the blackout, from what I can tell.
Yeah, and it's directed and edited by Rich Fox. It focuses on the Los Angeles one. There's a Los Angeles blackout. There's a New York blackout.
Right.
This takes place at the L.A. one. And the main thing is they sort of interview and talk to the people before they go in. They talk to them after they're done. And they do supposedly have some footage from inside the haunt. Now, the blackout, for those who don't know, and I can't imagine any of our listeners don't, is one of the new class of, quote-unquote, extreme haunts, where they will basically borderline torture you.
Yeah. Yeah, you sign waivers saying that you're okay with anything they do to you.
You get waterboarded. Sexual humiliation is often part of it.
Yeah.
Gross stuff like crawling through used condoms. I've heard all kinds of different things.
Yeah, and truth be told, since we haven't been to any of these, we don't know how much of this is one of those legends or rumors that are going around about it, and how much of it's actually in...
Oh, I'm pretty sure they do some messed up stuff. It's just the exact stuff is up for debate. I mean, this and like McCamey Manor and so forth.
Right.
You know, I've said it before on this podcast, and I've said it elsewhere, I don't understand this as a business model.
No.
They seem to be doing reasonably well. But, yeah, you've got to charge an arm and a leg for this experience, and, you know, it's a niche. I guess there are people out there that want to do this.
I think it reaches a very specific audience, but not a broad audience.
I would agree with that. And that I think that specific audience may be very willing to pay, but I have to worry about legal issues here, personally.
Yeah.
Because, and this is one of the problems, is you cannot consent to be assaulted.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Assault by its very nature can't be consented to. So, yeah, signing those waivers and everything doesn't necessarily absolve them of any responsibility or liability.
Right. And it, you know, part of the original legend we were just talking about was that you would have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
Before you went in, saying that if you got too scared, you weren't going to sue them. And I have to wonder how much of that relates directly into this and putting the patron in the mindset of anything can happen.
And we've seen this at other places. We've seen there's no shortage of haunts that have used waivers for that purpose. It's kind of like those hot sauces that make you sign waivers.
Yeah.
It doesn't absolve them from liability if they release an unsafe product. It's a marketing gimmick.
Yeah.
A lot of times a waiver is a marketing gimmick and nothing more.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, I am actually kind of curious about this film. May check it out if we can find a way to access it legally.
Obviously,
because not going to break the law to do it. We are good little copyright supporters here.
Yes.
But long and short of it is, I'm pretty sure this is not going to change my mind, though, about the blackout experiments.
Right.
About the blackout, rather. All right, this last one I had to throw in for fun. If anyone's in for haunted real estate, like actual haunted houses, supposedly the most haunted house in the UK, or in England rather, is for sale. This is an article by Josh Saunders at The Mirror, and it focuses on a woman named Vanessa Mitchell, who bought the house in 2004, known as Cage. Not The Cage, it's known as Cage. Don't ask me to explain it.
Nope.
She bought it for £148,000, about $211,000. So not an insanely expensive home.
Right.
It apparently has a history where it was a medieval prison.
Yes.
Was the scene of the most famous witch hunt in the country, left 8 dead, and various other tragedies.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be a great place to buy to open up a haunted attraction UK.
I'm just saying.
It already has legend around it.
Yeah. And we have a house like that here in New Orleans.
Yeah, but that...
It's a little different.
That's documented history. That's not just...
Some really messed up stuff took place in New Orleans. We're going to leave it there. You can Google this on your time. Maybe we'll do another podcast on some of this because it is fascinating to me, but...
Yeah, maybe we'll have Kyle come back and talk some of his tour guide stuff, history.
That's actually true. Remember Kyle from a few episodes back... He does some of those haunted tours here in the city we were just talking about, and he knows the history of the house we're thinking of. Like, he actually would know the name, which neither of us do, because we're idiots. And
it's on the tip of my tongue.
It's on the tip of my tongue, too.
I've read the book about it, but I just...
But yeah, But getting back to England, she claims that she was pushed over when she was 8 months pregnant, and she was finally motivated to sell after she saw the face, and I'm not making this up, of a demonic goat on closed circuit TV.
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
The Lorry House.
The Lorry House is the one in New Orleans. It's so horribly messed up. Yeah. Google it on your own time. It has a really screwed up history.
Sorry. Back to the satanic goat now. The ghost of the satanic ghost, sorry.
Whatever it is. But, yeah, no word in the article on the price they're looking for the house. But it's fascinating, the legend of this house.
Yeah. And it's got some beautiful detail work. Yeah, it does. It's got some pictures of the house, like the old...
It would be a bit cramped for my style because it's an old world build, back when people were shorter and...
Yeah, you did have some trouble going through some of the places over there.
Some of the castles and so forth, because it's like, Newcastle Keep.
Yeah.
I hit my head at least 4 goddamn times going through that place, because they apparently built their archways for, like, people who were, like, 5 foot and whatever, a little bit of change. Yeah. Like, even shorter than, like, you know, Crystal.
Yeah.
Because Crystal would scrape the top of some of them herself, and I'm a few inches taller than her. And so, yeah, it was really frustrating. I'm 6 feet. I'm not, like, a giant or anything. But still, it's like, and that's my problem. I'm not used to ducking under doors.
Yeah.
I don't usually have that problem. Yet here, every time I walk, turn around the corner, donk! So, yeah, a little crowded for a medium to large dude like me. But still, it looks great. I would love it.
I'm looking at the photo from
the goat? Of the demonic. The goat,
and it looks more like an alien to me.
Really? You think alien?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see alien. I don't see goat at all.
No.
You know what it looks like to me? It looks like an ultrasound. Like just a random still from an ultrasound. Like you can't make a baby out, but it's the same weird black and white mass.
Yeah, or like fog rolled in and light hit it.
Yeah, I can see alien though. Alien with very sharp features for what
once it was cleared up. Now the original, it just looks like fog and stuff. Yeah, they photoshopped it to really bring out those goat-like features. Yeah, that's... Anyway.
She sees a demonic goat, she's selling the damn house. That's what it comes down to.
Basically.
Real fast, a couple of other odds and ends. Being released, I think it's...
It's in theaters now.
It's in theaters now. The Witch. And I have been hearing amazing things about this horror movie.
Yeah.
I don't know all that much about it. But it's not often a horror movie makes a lot of buzz these days. And it's routinely being called the year's scariest film.
Yes. And considering that we're in February, it might be true for so far.
Yeah, it might be. It stars Ralph Ineson, Kate Dickey, Julian Richards, basically a bunch of people I don't know. But that's kind of common in horror films.
Yeah.
And it was shot on an estimated $1 million budget, so not...
Which is pretty low budget for Hollywood production.
Yeah, it's fairly low budget. So I'm interested. I don't know if I'm going to check it on theaters or wait for it to arrive in some kind of home viewing. But it's definitely been getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And finally, I found this one interesting. Sam Raimi of, you know, Night of the I'm choking on my own spit here, of horror movie fame, is now doing car commercials.
Yes.
For the Chevy Malibu.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it actually kind of does, because the commercial itself has like the effects like a breaking mirror and some general horror movie effects. He actually has been branching out and doing a lot more than horror movie.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we know him from like Evil Dead and so forth. I nearly said Night of the Living Dead, which that was not him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he did Evil Dead, and of course, was I think he directed the first episode of Ash vs. the Evil Dead, the TV series. But yeah, he's also done like some work with Spider-Man and some other stuff. So yeah, he's expanding, but still.
Yeah, but that's still interesting. He's branching out into car commercials, so
yeah. So yeah, that is all the news we've got. We have a little bit of time at the end of this podcast. Any of these topics you want to discuss a little bit more? I'm thinking back on the issue of the year-round haunts, though.
Right.
And the challenge of keeping them open, and wondering if there's a way, like, because you got me thinking about this when you talked about it being a marketing problem.
Right.
If maybe there is a way to rebrand a year-round haunt as something other than a haunted attraction.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of these haunts are trying to do with the room escapes, is because now it's no longer a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
It's an escape the room.
It's a team scenario. Game. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe we have this weird association with walking through a haunted attraction, a traditional haunted attraction with Halloween, but other spins on it can be something else.
Right. I'm surprised that, like, arcades for kids, like here locally, you know, Laser Tag, Adventure Quest, and things like that haven't started doing escape rooms.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that would be a place that it would fit more, because they're year-round operations,
mm-hmm.
but it also makes a lot of sense for haunted houses.
Well, escape rooms are particularly good for haunted attractions because they require less staff,
mm-hmm.
going back to that being less staff intensive.
Right.
And they provide a very good value to the customer. Yes, they're more expensive, but where, like, for example, the 13th Gate, we're able to go through it in about 20-ish minutes, usually.
Right.
The escape room, you're pretty much guaranteed damn near an hour.
Yeah. And I could see that being marketed towards businesses for mm-hmm. team leadership building skills and, like, project teams.
Yeah.
To learn how each other thinks and how you work out problems individually and what the weaknesses and strong suits are for each person on the team.
I personally would like to see more year-round haunts because... And I say that as a haunter. It's a bit selfish of me because we're busy as hell in September and October, man.
Yeah, I don't know a haunt that isn't.
Yeah.
So
we don't get to go to that many haunted attractions.
Right.
Except we actually sneak out and we do to do the reviews.
Yeah. But still, it'd be much easier if
we could, like, go to a few in June.
Yes. If there were some that were open in June.
Yeah. Now, we are seeing haunts increasingly getting into the business of opening up for other holidays.
Right.
We saw a whole bunch. I think we had over, 40 haunts across the country opening for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no one did the news last year. We rambled off a few of them. We've seen other lists since then. Unfortunately, we're recording this after Halloween, so we aren't going to mention
after
them.
After
Valentine's Day, sorry. So it's not worth mentioning them.
Right. We can put a link to
the
list, and that way, you know, you guys can have it for next year.
Yeah.
Also give you some ideas of haunts that are in your area that you might not know about.
Yeah, it was really interesting seeing them open for Valentine's Day. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I also think other major holidays might make sense, like other typical vacation holidays. Like even like, you know, President's Day and so forth. Days where people have off. I don't know how you're going to make work the theme out. Don't look at me like that. She's giving me a look.
I can see Easter with the scary Easter bunny.
Yeah.
And eggs that pop open and hatch monsters.
I do think we need to do... I do think, seriously, there needs to be more Christmas haunts.
Yeah.
I do think we need more Christmas haunts, in all seriousness. Yeah. I would like to see some open on the 4th of July, though, somehow.
There have been, I actually read a story where there was a haunt that did that.
Oh.
That they were open two other times during the year. It was like a halfway there kind of opening, you know.
And the thing about it, though, is this does, the year-round haunt problem does raise one other issue. How do you update or revise the haunt?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to shutter for a few weeks and make your changes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why maybe a June, July, August, you know, like a short run.
Yeah.
Maybe with Skeleton Crew. Pun intended.
That's what you're gonna
do. Yeah. But, you know, just to test out the new layout, new scares, and that way you can improve it by the time Halloween comes around.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, whenever we were doing ours, as that's part of the role that I have as a stalker is seeing, okay, what are we changing for next year? What didn't work? What was too effective in the place it's at? You know?
Yeah, and that's one of the problems that we face is since we're a home haunt, we're only open for 3 or 4 nights a year.
Yeah.
If something is wrong
the
first night,
we
either have to scramble to fix it and change it.
Right.
And that's amidst fixing all the other stuff that's just damaged and broken. There's always going to be a...
which has gotten a lot less over the years.
Yeah. Actually, we actually had a day off
this
year.
Oh, my God.
We actually had a full day off, except for opening at 7. We did not have to touch anything.
Yes.
Which, that's unheard of. It was really nice. We got to sleep in, like, October 30th, I think it was.
Yeah.
We actually got to sleep in. It was really nice. So we're obviously getting better at building stuff durably is one of the things I figured. But, yeah, if something isn't working, like, we've had it a few years where we made major changes to some of our scares the day, on the day we were going to be open.
Yeah.
Or we've been lucky enough to have a year where it's like we're open Friday, Saturday, and then Halloween's not until Wednesday, and we have a couple of days there that we're not open.
Right.
We can make the changes then. But, yeah, that's hard to do. It's really hard to make those changes. Man, I would like to see more year-round haunts. I know that's selfish, but I want it so bad.
Yeah, or maybe, just change. Somebody at Hong Kong, we were talking about this problem, and they suggested changing the state that the haunts open for haunters.
Yeah.
So that, this state would have it this month, and, it's a fun idea.
It'll never
think
work.
It's feasible.
Yeah, Louisiana's open for haunters in June, and it'll never work, but it's a great idea.
Yeah, I do think as an industry we need to find ways to be open for other people in our industry.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I realized the reason the haunt tours are so popular at HauntCon.
Yeah.
It's because you and I are fairly lucky. Even though we run a haunt, we are able to slip out and go check out other haunts.
Right.
We check out pretty much everything in our immediate area.
Yeah.
And most of what we can reach and, like, the further afield stuff.
Right.
We typically go to about a dozen a year.
Yeah.
Most haunters don't get that experience.
No. Yeah, it's something that I'm actually going to miss whenever...
We do go pro, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah, because we're going to have to find a night we're not open and we can go check out other area haunts.
Yeah.
I think it'd be worth it. But yeah. So oh, yes. Sorry, Crystal. I did that so smoothly.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Yes. One real quick programming note.
Yes.
We will be making an appearance on another podcast.
Yes, we met these guys at HauntCon. They were awesome.
Yes, they were. They are the guys behind Haunt Topic.
HauntTopic.com.
Isn't it .com?
We did a podcast over there with them. We recorded. It's going up sometime in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, we do not know exactly when. They keep their own schedule.
Yeah. We are looking at possibly having them come on to our show.
I was right. It was HauntTopic.com, actually.
Yes.
I wasn't wrong. You made me doubt myself. You see what happens?
Sorry.
It's Haunt Topic. I mean, what the hell? Anyways, yes, Haunt Topic, 1T.
Yes.
Haunt Topic.
Yes.
Haunt Topic. But yes, it actually was a really, really good time. We talked a little about copyright and licensing.
Right.
And a bunch of other stuff. It was a long, winding, interesting conversation. And just to give you guys something to look forward to, I give away the only time I've ever really been scared in a haunted attraction.
Yes.
I talk about that in great detail.
Yes.
And how terrified I was.
They were actually very interested in it. So be sure to check out their podcast.
Yeah, when it goes live, and we will put a link to it.
Yes. If you haven't subscribed to us, subscribe to us and then subscribe to them.
Yes. They are definitely a podcast worth checking out. We've been enjoying getting caught up on their stuff.
Yeah. And they're doing a lot of great stuff over there. They're trying to make a whole website that would be like a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
For haunters.
So. Yeah, they're really working on a lot of different things here. And they have several, by the way, right now, the latest podcast are several great ones from HauntCon.
Yeah.
They've been doing some great podcasts related to HauntCon. Definitely, definitely, definitely check them out.
All
right. Well, that's about all I've got right now. I think we've stretched enough. It's going to be a little bit short this week. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But we'll still get our 50 minutes or so in. It won't be too big of a deal. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly Episode 12, doing the news. It's been a fun one.